Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace at this time. Father Yahweh, we truly come before you with humbled hearts and, Father, praise, thanking you for bringing us to this place, that we could come together to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, this first high day, and with brethren of like precious faith, and to give glory to you, Father. We know that we have but a short time before Yahshua returns. And we ask, Father, that you would truly touch each and every one of our hearts, that you would bless your servants, that you would cause each one of us, Father, to come before you with praise and thankfulness of heart, humble-minded, Father, and showing love for one another. It's only through the shed blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, that we have this opportunity. And we ask, Father, that we would use this opportunity for your honor and glory, and that you would help each one of us become better, that we would bring our best to the table as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Open our hearts and minds and receive this implanted word you prepared for us this day, that it might have free course in us and that it might strengthen us and cause us to serve you better, Father, as we seek to be more like your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Truly, Father, it's only through that great sacrifice that we have this opportunity and the love that we have that was shown toward us through his great sacrifice, that love that you've given us, Father, that you've shown toward us in giving your only begotten Son. We use that. And thank you, because we know that you've done something great for us. And it's nothing that we can do except try our best to be obedient, to serve you, Father, and return. It's in Yahshua's name we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. This message is entitled, Love Never Fails. In Leviticus chapter 33, we read here, it says, And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, On the 15th day of the 7th month is the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to Yahweh. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. That means that Yahweh wants us to set this day apart. He wants us to use this day to worship him. Can't do anything that we normally do on our other 6 days of the week, even though this is not the weekly Sabbath. It's a holy convocation. 7 days shall you offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation to you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. It is a solemn assembly. You shall do no servile work. These are the set feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. To offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh, a burnt offering, and a meal offering, a sacrifice, and a drink offering, each on its own day, besides the Sabbaths of Yahweh, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows. And besides all your freewill offerings, which you give to Yahweh. On the 15th day of the month, when you have gathered in the fruits of the land, you shall keep the feast of Yahweh 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn rest, and on the 8th day shall be a solemn rest. And you shall have taken on the first day the fruit of good trees, branches of palm trees and boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook, And you shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim 7 days. And you shall keep it a feast to Yahweh 7 days in the year. It is a statute forever throughout your generations. You shall keep it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are homeborn in Israel shall dwell in booths. And we know that term booth is sukkah. It's a temporary dwelling. I know the Jews in the East build a little sukkah or tabernacle next to their homes and whatever in their backyards, and they'll go out there and they'll eat there. They'll have their little services or whatever, but they didn't go back in their house. Or they go in their neighbor's house. They switch houses. See, a lot of them. So they don't have to go far. But you're going to be in a temporary dwelling. All the homeborn in Israel shall dwell in booths, or sukkahs, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh Elohim. And Moses declared to the children of Israel the set feast of Yahweh. Now, we know that the majority of the people of this world do not keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Matter of fact, the majority of the people of this world don't. I mean, they worship mighty ones, okay? Like the Hindus, they have their mighty one they worship. A lot of them, Vishnu, a lot of them, these different other. And we know that the mighty ones of the nations are idols. You know, Yahweh is the only true living Elohim. So therefore, he is the one that's commanded us to do this, to keep the feast. Okay, he's given us instruction on how to do it. This is what we're here. We're here to learn how to serve Yahweh. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 14. And we'll start at verse 22. It says, "And you shall surely tithe all the increase of your seed, that which comes forth from the field, year by year, and you shall eat before Yahweh your Elohim in the place which he shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. The tithe of your grain and of your new wine and of your oil and the firstling of your herd and of your flock, that you may learn to fear Yahweh Elohim always. And if the way is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry it, because the place is too far from you, which Yahweh Elohim shall choose to set his name there, when Yahweh Elohim shall bless you, then shall you turn it into money, and bind up the money in your hand, and shall go to the place which Yahweh Elohim shall choose." So this is what we're commanded to do. Go to where Yahweh chooses, to place his name. This is where we go to keep the feast. Okay? "And you shall use the money for whatever your soul desires, for oxen, for sheep, for wine, for strong drink, or for whatever your soul asks of you. And you shall eat there before Yahweh Elohim, and you shall rejoice, you and your household." So we're commanded to not only keep the feast, but to rejoice. See, this is not a solemn occasion. This is an occasion for us to come together and have a good time. See, we're supposed to leave our troubles at home, leave our problems behind, because we are here to rejoice. "And the Levite that is within your gates, you shall not forsake him, for he has no portion nor inheritance with you." Turn over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103.
This message is entitled, Love Never Fails. And one of the things we have to realize is that Yahweh has never failed us. He has never failed his people. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, all your iniquities. And Yahweh has forgiven each and every one of our sins. But he only does that to the extent that we've repented and we're not continuing in those sins. Who heals all your diseases, he will heal his people. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your desire with good things. So he's told us to come together to rejoice before him. He's satisfying our desires for good things. Whatever he told us in Deuteronomy, whatever your soul desires. Wine, strong drink. If it's a steak, have that steak. You know? He wants us to enjoy this time that we're together. And the reason that he wants us to do this is because it's going to bind us closer together. See? He knows this. And this is going to solidify this organization. So when we go back home, we're going to be stronger so that we can get through another year. See? Get us to Passover. So that your youth is renewed like the eagle, Yahweh executes righteous acts and judgments for all that are oppressed. The problem is that most of our young people and all of the, you know, they think that their situation is unique. You know, nobody has gone through what they've gone through. Nobody is where they are. You know, you can't feel their pain. You know, you don't know what I'm going through. You know? But the problem is, not only do we know what they're going through, we know how they can get through it. The problem is they don't want to listen because they see that we fear Yahweh. We're being blessed. And me and Matt talk about this often, about our kids and stuff like that, because they're often there with their hand out. You know, we don't know anything, so we don't have any knowledge. We aren't really that well gifted in the ways of the world. But when the economy is crashing down around them and they have needs financially, where do they go? They come with their hand out. They're looking to their parents and whatnot for a loan or some help to get through. And you feel for them because you want to help them, okay? But they have to get to the point where they understand that they can get blessed and have everything they need if they trust in Yahweh. Because love never fails. Yahweh has never failed us. See? Regardless of the trials that we've gone through. I use the scripture often, and I even used it, I believe, the last Sabbath in Psalm 34 about many of the afflictions of the righteous. But Yahweh will deliver them out of them all. That is the promise. See? And the problem that they can't understand there is that term righteous. See? And righteousness is the keeping of the commandments. No, they don't want to keep all of the covenant. They don't want to keep the Sabbath, the feast days. They don't want to tithe. They don't want to do everything that goes along with the blessings that we receive. And I told them, I don't make a lot of money. I'm serious, but Yahweh blesses the little I get to make it go further, and we can accomplish a lot of things. But where would we be if all of these young people that were raised in the faith were keeping the covenant, that were following? You know, where would we be? See, when my young people ask me about the feast, and, you know, about us being together, why we, you know, can't be together or whatever, and I said, it's not that we can't be together. It's people aren't willing to yield and follow the direction that Yahweh's leading. See? And we have this issue in Trinidad, even right now, with some of the brethren who were part of YPTC, and they don't want to continue with YPTC. And the younger ones there that are kind of leading YPTC in Trinidad, they are kind of rejecting because it's like, I have more authority than you. See? And that's not the case. Because Yahweh raises up those who are righteous, those who are keeping the covenant. If the other people have stopped keeping the covenant, okay? I mean, I was in Trinidad, and the one that had been ordained by PTC didn't even show up, didn't come. Said he wasn't feeling good. I was there for 5 days, never showed up, okay? But the other brethren were there. Not only were they there, they had a zeal for Yahweh. They want to build this thing. They want to work. Yet, see, the other group, our former affiliation there has a large group there, Trinidad. Okay? And they're looking down on the people who are with YPTC, like just they look down on Yahshua. Oh, he's not educated. He didn't go to the university. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. But guess what? Yahweh is the one that blesses the people with the knowledge and the zeal to serve him and to fulfill all of these things that have to happen. And that's what's going to happen, see? So I told the young man that's leading YPTC there in Trinidad, keep doing the work. You just keep doing the work. I said, don't worry about the other people. Yahweh's going to bring the increase, and as the people come, you just welcome them, show them love, because this is the key. See, no matter where we are, whether it's in India, whether it's in Africa or the Philippines, love is what's going to win the day, because love never fails. And Almighty Yahweh uses that. That's the main component he uses. And that's what we need. And this is what the young people have to understand. If you love Yahweh, what did Yahshua say? If you love, keep my commandments. And this is what we have to do. This is the example that we have to give. See? I'm hoping and praying, and this is why this whole thing is about hope, okay? Because there is hope that still these people will come together. Because I'm not going to give a prophecy, but I believe next year we're going to come together. And I'm talking about, I know, I won't say that either, because I can't. I don't. I believe Yahweh is going to lead these people back to where they belong. And the reason I'm saying what I'm saying, I know my kids. And I know my kids, Mr. and Mom. And as long as she's here, I guarantee you they're going to be. See? I think this year is a test for them there in Virginia. Okay. See, this would be the first feast they've ever had without her. And this is why I'm saying what I'm saying. Yahweh has a way, because love never fails. You think about it. I don't care what you go through in life. If you're faithful and you're doing what's right to Almighty Yahweh, guess what's going to happen? You're going to receive a blessing. Each and every opportunity, he's going to bless you. See, sometimes people, it's like people pray for the money. I want $1 million or whatever, and they think that's what they need. And sometimes, you know, you got to be careful what you wish for, what you pray for, because say you get it. The trouble that comes with that might be so much more in your life that you wish you didn't have it anymore, and it'll go away too. See, so sometimes it's about doing just what's right. Yahweh has shown us in his word where he needs us to be, okay? And if we're there where he needs us to be, he adds the increase. He's the one that's going to touch the hearts of these other people and say, you know what, you need to be here. You need to do this because this is the way you get the blessing. In verse 7, it says, He made known His ways to Moses, His doings to the children of Israel. Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness. And I think too many people believe still in that bloodthirsty mighty one, that Yahweh of the Old Testament, as they said. You know, when I was in school, that's how they taught Yahweh. That's when I first encountered the name Yahweh. I was in high school. And in our history book, they had Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, the bloodthirsty mighty one, because he killed all those people in Canaan to make a place, make a way for Israel. But he didn't kill them all. Remember? Because you had several of them join, become sojourners with Israel. Because they tricked Joshua, the general. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us after our iniquities. Because if he did, we would not be standing here today. We wouldn't be here. See? That's why we know he is a gracious, mighty one. And he is forgiving. And this is why we have to learn forgiveness, brethren. You know? We want forgiveness from Almighty Yahweh, but, you know, a lot of us don't want to forgive our brother that has, you know, transgressed against us. But for us to receive that forgiveness, if we want Yahweh to forgive us, we have to forgive others. Continue in that forgiveness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward them that fear him. And I'm going to tell you, it is great. Almighty Yahweh has truly blessed each and every one of us. Not only in allowing us to be here at the Feast of Tabernacles, but you think about your life. Think about the things that you've gone through in your life. You know, I remember there were many times in my youth that I could have been dispatched. I could have been killed. Some of the things that we were doing, I was pledging for a fraternity. You had people jumping off of roofs and stuff like that, get you blinded, you know, doing things that, you know, kids, I mean, people die getting hazed, you know, but when you're going through it, I mean, it can be scary, but what I'm saying is you're not thinking clearly. I just have to put it like that. You're not thinking clearly. And most young people, that's it. They don't think clearly, you know, because they don't have that proper foundation. When you find a young person that has the right foundation, which is Yahweh, you'll see a difference in the direction their life takes. It says, For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so Yahweh pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And the place of it shall know it no more. But the loving kindness of Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his precepts to do them. And we're here today because we are remembering to keep the covenant, the precepts that Yahweh has taught us. He told us to keep the feast. And we're here, keeping the feast. Yahweh has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless Yahweh, you his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, listening to the voice of his word. Joshua told them when they were about to kill him, he could call legions of angels to come and fight for him. But that wasn't the purpose. That wasn't what Yahweh wanted him to do. Yahweh wanted him to suffer and die for the sins of each and every one of us. See? I'm going to read verse 19 again. It says, Yahweh has established his throne in heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Now, we believe this, okay? The world doesn't, because the world can only see what they see. They're blinded, just like the scribes and the Pharisees were. They were concerned with this life, this world. Our kingdom is not of this world, brother. And the reason it's not is because we desire something way more than this earth. I mean, this material earth. We want the kingdom of Yahweh. Eternity is in each and every one of our hearts. That's why we're here. And we know that Almighty Yahweh loves us because he sent Yahshua the Messiah to die for our sins. Bless Yahweh in verse 21. All you his hosts, you ministers of his that do his pleasure. Each one of us has a ministry. And each one of us in our own ministry, wherever Yahweh has placed us as the salt of the earth, we have to minister to those people around us. They look to you as an angel of Yahweh. Okay? You have to think about how Yahweh has placed you wherever he's placed you to do whatever you do. When people come to you, you know, sometimes people assume that Yahweh sets them in a situation, in a job, in a position for their own purpose. But you think about Joseph, how he was sent down to Egypt. He saved the nation of Israel. Remember, he was talking about all those dreams he had and his brethren bowing before him and all that. It came to pass because Yahweh had a purpose for him. And one of our major things we have to do in life is finding out our purpose. Know exactly what Yahweh has designed for our lives. And sometimes that's not as easy for most people to see. Sometimes it's easy because you know the type of person you are. Yahweh has given you a certain ability to touch other people's lives. Okay? And when you touch their lives, it's for his benefit. It's not for yours. Okay? And when you do the things that are for his benefit, guess what? He blesses you and blesses you and blesses you. So you can do it over and over again. Bless Yahweh, all you his works. In all places of his dominion, bless Yahweh, O my soul. Each one of us is here for a reason. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the love chapter. We'll start in verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Love has to be there. Love has to be there. Or you're just making a lot of noise. If I have gifts of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Because it'll gain you nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned but have not love, it gains me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not its own, is not provoked, takes no account of evil, rejoices not in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's where I got the title from of this message. Love never fails, brother. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. But now these three live, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Love never fails, brethren. Remember, he said, these three live, faith, hope, and love. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 1. Verses 1-3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of Elohim. And we are. For this cause the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are children of Elohim, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And everyone that has this hope set on him purifies himself even as he is pure. We have our hope set on Yahshua, because he came to take away our sins, brother. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. You can keep your finger at 1 John. We're going to come back there. But Romans chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1 of Romans 5. It says, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with Yahweh through our Master Yahshua the Messiah, through whom also we have our access by faith. We talked about those three, faith, hope, and love. By faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of Yahweh. We rejoice in hope of the glory of Yahweh. And not only so, but we rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation works endurance. The trials that we go through will work endurance, and endurance approval, and approval hope, and hope does not put to shame. Because the love of Yahweh has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. For while we were yet weak, in due season the Messiah died for the lawless. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. For possibly for the good man, someone would even dare to die. And we've seen that in history. There have been some people who sacrificed their lives to save others. But Yahweh commends his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, the Messiah died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of Elohim through him. So we're being saved from the wrath of Yahweh because we've accepted that blood sacrifice of Yahshua the Messiah. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to Yahweh through the death of his Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life. What I was talking about earlier about these young people, they don't see in the spiritual realm because they can only see in the carnal. See, they don't have Yahweh's Holy Spirit. Those that are baptized have the down payment, but even then, a lot of them have problems going beyond the physical, the carnal. Even though they have the Holy Spirit, you have to feed it. And how do we do it? Through the Word of Yahweh. The more we study the Word, the more the Spirit grows in us. See? And the stronger we grow in the Spirit, the closer we get to Yahweh. And it makes it more difficult. That's where that endurance comes in. See? This process that we saw here about going through these trials and tribulations, and the tribulation works endurance, and that endurance approval, and approval hope. And see, once we have gotten to that level, it makes it harder for Satan to have victory over us because love never fails. And Yahweh has given us his love through Yahshua the Messiah. And not only so at verse 11, but we also rejoice in Yahweh through our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So we've been reconciled to Yahweh from our past sins. Remember what we read back in Psalm about, you know, if Yahweh judged us according to our sins, none of us could stand. See, because our righteousness is still as filthy rags. The only difference between us and the rest of the sinners out there is that Yahshua's shed blood covers us. See? We have made a decision to accept that blood covering. And they don't have the covering. That's why they have to fear these catastrophes that are coming upon the world. See? But Yahweh told us that love never fails. And it doesn't as long as we've accepted the sacrifice of Yahshua the Messiah. Back in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. 1 John 3, verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away sins, and in him is no sin. And there was no sin found in Yahshua the Messiah. He's the only human being that has never sinned, even from a child. You know, children are very selfish individuals. They come into this world demanding, okay? Some of them never change. As they grow older, they're still demanding, see? And that's a lot of times the parents' fault because we haven't really broken them or taught them properly how to deal in society, how to be humble. Some of us are spoiled. Some of us get beyond that. Verse 6, it says, whoever remains in him does not sin. Whoever sins has not seen him, neither knows him. Little children, let no man lead you astray. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that does sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. There is a separation there, though. There's a separation. To this end was the Son of Yahweh manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Because you understand, when the devil came into the garden and started this ball rolling of sin, it only got worse. It started with Eve, Adam and Eve. The child committed murder, and it just got worse until he had to destroy the whole thing with a flood. And you think about it. That wasn't a long time. That was a short period of time. From the beginning, Adam and Eve, to Noah, he had to destroy the whole thing. Because in Genesis, keep your finger where you are, but just go back to Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5, it says, and Yahweh saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6, 5. And then drop down to verse 17. He says, and I, behold, I do bring the floodwaters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is in the earth shall die. That's how bad that corruption got. He destroyed everything that had been created, other than those 8 souls that were on the ark and the animals that he took from the ark. Everything else was destroyed. Back in 1 John 3, verse 9, it says, whoever is begotten of Yahweh does not practice sin, because his seed remains in him, and he may not practice sin because he is begotten of Yahweh. We cannot practice sin, brethren. You know, when you play a sport, to become better, you practice. What we have to practice is the keeping of the commandments, the covenant. That's how we become better. We've accepted the shed blood of Yahshua the Messiah. But see, evildoers are out there practicing, continually doing the same thing, whatever the sin is, to the point where they've cut off and they have to be destroyed. It says in verse 10, in this the children of Yahweh are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoever does not righteousness is not of Yahweh, neither he that does not love his brother. Love never fails, brethren. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain was of the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because his works were evil and his brother is righteous. That was the difference. And that's the difference between us and the rest of the people out there. Now, we have people out there that we love dearly. I'm serious. I love my parents dearly. Every opportunity I Yeah, I mean, whenever I hold services, and they're in the Pennsylvania, they come. If I'm in the Baltimore area, they come. And you know, I want them to accept the salvation of Almighty Yahweh. Because I believe they're good people. But they still have to come. They still have to get over that knowledge of Yahweh. They have to accept the shed blood of Yahshua the Messiah. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, we're going to start in verse 8. It says, owe no man anything save to love one another. For he that loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery. Because if you love your neighbor, you're not going to go into their husband or their wife and violate that bond that they have one to another. You shall not murder. You're not going to take someone else's life. You shall not steal. You're not going to take that which belongs to someone else. You shall not covet. You're not going to desire something of someone else's. Because Yahweh will give you whatever your heart desires. All you have to do is be faithful. So you don't have to covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this word, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And truly it is. Turn back to 1 John 3. 1 John 3, verse 13. Do we love the brethren? The answer is yes. That's why we're here. Because we love the brethren. We haven't walked away as the many. We have remained because we love the brethren. See, a lot of people see YPTC as just a small group of brethren here. And what I've been trying to get the brethren to see, and I know Willie's been doing it with his prayers and whatnot, is that this ministry is a lot more vast. It's a lot more people. And you know, I'm not just talking about Kenya. There are people in India who are part of YPTC. There are people in the Philippines. There are people in Trinidad. See, this organization may seem very, very small because of the nucleus. But you know what the nucleus is in the atom? It's like the heart. But outside of that, you still have a lot of mass. You have a lot of territory. You have a lot of people. See, someone said to me a while ago, I don't know whether it was Cheryl, one of them said, we don't care about numbers. But Yahweh does. He has a special number, like 144,000, who are going to be first fruits. See? And then he has a vast majority, I'm talking about millions of people, who are going to be coming in at that white throne judgment. Who washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb during the tribulation. See, so he cares about numbers. This is why he gave us the Great Commission to go out and fulfill. Now, how can you go off on your own and fulfill the Great Commission? You can't, because you're concerned about yourself. Okay? When you're concerned and you have the love of Almighty Yahweh, because love never fails, you're concerned about the people that Almighty Yahweh is calling. See? We don't have, like I said, each one of us has a part. We don't all have to be preachers. We don't all have to be teachers. We don't all have to due to traveling. But guess what? We all participate. We all have a part. Because you may be in a position to just do one job. It may be during the tribulation. It may be before that. But that one job that you may do may open the gateway for thousands of people to come and to serve Yahweh. See? But if you love Yahweh, because we know love never fails, this is why he sent us his son, Yahshua the Messiah. See, I said this a while back, and this was in response to someone that told me they didn't want to be a part of an organization anymore. Okay? I told them, someone was a part of the organization that gave you the truth. If it wasn't for them, you would never have heard it. See? Oh, but they were a 501c3 organization or whatever. Guess what? Didn't matter whether they got a tax deduction for it or not. Guess what? They gave so that you would hear. You heard. But now you're not concerned about anybody else because you got the truth. See? And you got it. But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take that truth to the world. We're supposed to share it. We get responses from the internet from people all over the world, which is going to be one of our Bible studies. I decided one about the books. But I should have hit back up for a loan so I could have gotten the books here on time. They can still be here on time, though. But it takes several Bible studies to get through that book, Permission to Receive, which is the book I wanted to use for our Bible studies. But I have so many questions from this one couple over in Wales that they want me to answer. I decided that we will all get together and answer. We'll have a Bible study just on those questions. And then I can get my wife or Carol or Marie to type the answers as we answer them, one by one. So by the end of our Bible study, we got this and we can send the email back to them. They'll be happy. They got their answers and we'll be happy that you answer them. So Yahweh works. He does everything and he, I'm telling you, just the way it comes down, he has everything planned. We can't even put it all together. He does. He really does. And that's going to benefit each and every one of us because we're going to learn as we're answering all these questions. And at the same time, not that we don't know the answers, because, I mean, I know Mrs. Walker probably knows and Willie probably knows them all, but as we study with our Bibles to answer these questions, we're going to be, again, studying those again, so when someone else asks, we have the answer. And trust me, that's going to happen soon anyway. What we may want to do is put this Bible study and the answers to these questions in maybe like an article. Because, I'm sure that some of them are answered in a lot of the articles we already have. But what I'm saying is we can put them in some sort of form on the website. And then frequently asked questions. Yeah, fact. We can have a fact on our website. See how Yahweh develops? We can have a fact page on our website for frequently asked questions. But love never fails, brethren. It never fails. And 1 John 3:13, it says, marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He that loves not lives in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life living in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, because we would be following in Yahshua's footsteps. And we know that's a good thing. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need, and I'm telling you, when you look at some of the brethren, some of the people in India, and what they're going through, I mean, it just tugs at your heart. See? I feel even though our brethren in Kenya struggle, I think they're in better shape than the ones in India. I'm telling you, the leprosy and the problems that are in India are far greater from what I can see. They have even more of a challenge than a lot of our brethren in Kenya. And I think it's because Kenya is still a Christian nation, and India is Hindu. And it seems like, I think they have a lot more people there as well. And their slums are pretty bad. The poor are suffering. It says, whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and shuts up his compassion, his love from him. That's what compassion means, love. How does the love of Yahweh live in him? It doesn't. When you can turn your back on people who are in need and you have a way to solve the problem, maybe that's why Yahweh gave you that blessing. See? I have a book that I was reading and I used a while back in this program I'm dealing with. It's in my bag. I'll bring it out. But it talks about giving. And it takes it to a different level. Because, people teach tithing and they teach even the second tithe and things, even the third tithe. But very few people talk about the free will offering. And that's something that many churches don't deal with. And the reason that they don't seem to do it is because it's an area that people draw back. Yahweh, it's already a sensitive subject. Money is a sensitive subject with a lot of people. But when you get to that point where you understand the love of Yahweh, you go beyond that, see? Because it's not about the money you have or whatever, because Yahweh blesses those even more. The more you give, the more you bless, see? And that's different because a lot of people in the world believe, I'm talking about these ministries where they talk about prosperity. Oh, yeah, you do this and you're going to get blessed and you'll have all this. You'll get this 10 times, 100 times more, 60 times more. But they're talking about receiving. See? They're not talking about giving. They're talking about giving to them. Yes, you give it to me, and Yahweh is going to bless you with so much more, 30, 60, 100 times more, so that you can be wealthy or whatever. But it's not about you. It's not about what we want. It's about what Yahweh desires of us, what he wants us to do with the blessings he's given us. How does the love of Yahweh live in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and truth. By this shall we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our heart before him. Because if our heart condemn us, Elohim is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness toward Elohim, and whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Too many people are looking in the mirror, looking at themselves. They're not looking at Yahshua, judging themselves by Yahshua. See, it says, we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight, in the sight of Yahweh. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his son, Yahshua the Messiah, and love one another, even as he gave his commandment. And he that keeps his commandments lives in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he lives in us by the Spirit which he gave us. And that Holy Spirit, brethren, is what takes us to the next level. That's what truly salts the earth. Sometimes Yahweh wants you to be used, not abused. We have to allow Yahweh the Spirit to work in our lives. He brings people into your life, into our lives, to enrich them and sometimes to test us, to see whether we're going to give, whether we're going to do that next righteous thing. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 1. Excuse me. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to show love to strangers. For in this manner, some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. Them that are ill-treated as being yourself also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, Elohim will judge. Be free from the love of money, content with such things as you have, for himself has said, I will in no way fail you, neither will I in any manner forsake you. So that with good courage we say, Yahweh is my helper, I will not fear, what shall man do to me? See, Almighty Yahweh, love never fails. He's going to be there for each and every one of us. He's going to bless us with all that we have need of. Everything that we have need of, not only for his ministry, see, because that's important. That's where we are. Like you said, how can this small group of people fund all of what's going on? You think about it. We don't take tithes. AOY, they take the tithes back from Africa. They bring them back from Africa to America. We leave the tithes that they get there for the work there. We even send money there to help with that ministry. Yahweh is the one that provides. He is the one that's going to make sure that this work goes forth. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed toward us. What we're going through is nothing compared to what we're going to receive in the kingdom, brother. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of Elohim, the children of Yahweh. For the creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of Elohim. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only so, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, namely the redemption of our body. Because we know we're going to be changed. For in hope were we saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for that which he sees? But if we hope for that which we do not see, then we wait with patience for it. And in like manner, the Spirit also helps our infirmity, for we know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of Yahweh. And we know that to them that love Yahweh, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. See, we weren't called according to our purpose. We were called according to his purpose. Our work and meat is to do his will, as Joshua said. We're following in the footsteps of the Savior. For whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. And whom he foreordained, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And I'm telling you, brethren, we want to be glorified with Yahshua the Messiah. For our closing passage, turn over to Luke chapter 18. I'm going to start at verse 1. And he spoke a parable to them to the end that they ought always to pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not Elohim and regarded not man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came to him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not Elohim nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest she wear me out by her continual coming. She wouldn't give up. See? She wouldn't give up because she knew she was right. She had something on her side. So she kept coming. And the teacher said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and shall not Elohim avenge his elect that cry to him day and night, and yet he is long-suffering over them? I say to you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? And the reason that I brought this passage to you is that we look at this group and think about how small we are. You know, people come, people go, but the key is that nucleus. Yahweh is looking for a people that love, because love never fails. It's going to overcome any obstacle that is set before it. Drop down to verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Yahshua said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good save one, even Elohim, even Yahweh. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these things have I observed from my youth up." And when Yahshua heard it, he said to him, "One thing you lack yet. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Because when he heard these things, I mean, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. He had plenty. See, but that was a burden to him. He couldn't give it up. He was used to being rich. He didn't want to give it up for the riches of heaven, for the kingdom. Whereas though Yahshua told him, "Distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven." He wasn't willing to do that. And that's what we have to be willing to do, brother. Because you can't take it with you. See? And Yahshua, seeing him, said, "With what difficulty shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of Yahweh?" Doesn't mean it can't be done. It just means it's going to be difficult. Because people trust in their riches. People trust in the things that they have. Whereas though, what we have to trust in more so than anything else is Almighty Yahweh and the love that he has for us, because he gave us his only begotten Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Love never fails, brethren. And as long as we have that bond, that relationship with us and Almighty Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah, we can be in the kingdom. We will overcome. Verse 25, it says, "For it is easier for a camel to enter in through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh." And they that heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with Yahweh." And Peter said, "Lo, we have left our own and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there is no man that has left house or wife or brethren or parents or children for the kingdom of Yahweh's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this time and in the world to come eternal life." And that's what we want to achieve, brethren. That's what we want to receive. And we will, because Almighty Yahweh has shown us that love never fails. And as long as we love one another, we have that opportunity to be in that kingdom, because love never fails. And it will overcome every obstacle. At this time, if you will rise and we'll have a closing prayer. Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for this, your holy, high holy Sabbath day, the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. We thank you, Father, for the blessings from on high. We know, Father, that it's only through you and your shed blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, that we have this opportunity of life everlasting. Help us, Father, as we try to show that the love of the brethren is active in these last days. As we pray for those around us, Father, those that were a part of us, we pray, Father, that you would place it upon their hearts, that they would see that truly you have a purpose for each and every one of us, and that you want the Great Commission fulfilled, that you want this word to go forth to touch hearts. It's not about the individual. It's about your people, the unit, those that are called for your purpose, according to your purpose, according to your will, who are willing to show that love one for another, because we know that love never fails, Father, and that Yahshua has taught us through his life. Help us to be more like him and to walk in his footsteps. Help us to do your will, and help us to overcome Satan, the devil, in this world as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Again, bless those that are not with us, that are with us in spirit, that are listening on the phone or on the video hookup. We thank you, Father, for bringing us together and for blessing us. And we ask, Father, that your will would be done in our lives, that you would touch each and every one of our hearts. Bless all those that have a petition before you on the prayer list. And, Father, we ask, because we know that you can do all things. You can heal anyone. You can raise the dead. Grant us, Father, more of your Holy Spirit, that we can do that which is right in your sight. Whatever you would like us to do, Father, we're here. We're ready. We want to serve you. In Yahshua's holy name, we ask all these things and blessings. Hallelujah.